Now on Sports Talk, it's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
And we welcome the Major Billy Downer. I just demoted you for a moment. Major Billy Downer in with us here on Sports Talk SC Wild from our Herndon Chevrolet studios. Good to see you once again, sir.
Always a pleasure to be here.
It's the month of June. Things are heating up. All right, so Dr. Rick wants to know about bears in York County.
Right. So, again, with all of the knowledge that you have been imparted with.
Did you notice that I actually relied on what you said
well.
Before?
You hit back, mm-hmm. said that you kind of stuck with Myrtle Beach, but it's not just that strip downtown. It's mm-hmm. The coast.
Right.
Has a large population of bears for sure, all the way in that the PD kind of basin. So, all the way Marion, Horry County, even down into Georgetown, into Florence, part of Williamsburg. Mm-hmm. Yep, a lot of bears there.
What about York?
So, remember, we've said that every county in the state of South Carolina has had a bear sighting at some time or another. Bears are transitional this time of year. They're moving around. It's dry.
Mm-hmm.
It's dry in a lot of places. So where bears may be normally getting water or cooling off, they're looking for places to find more water. This is drought. Animals get on the move. They're looking for water.
Mm-hmm.
So no doubt, this is the time of year that bears walk downtown. It happens in Greenville all the time. They come downtown. They start finding feeders and backyards. It's just that time of year that bears come out.
So a bear in York County
is not unheard of.
Okay. Where would it have come from?
York County.
I mean, would it have come from North Carolina, down?
Could have been in York County.
Okay.
We have, like I said, we have what we call transitional bears in every county. That means they reside there for some time. They may not hibernate there and stay there all year long, but they do transition through all the counties in our state.
All right. Very good. One more question about the weather and the lack of rain we've had the last couple of weeks. What has that done related to outdoor activities for both humans and the animals?
Well, first of all, when it's 100 degrees in May, that kind of thwarts any human activity a lot of times in the hot mm-hmm. part of the day. But when it gets hot, the water temperatures get hot, fish go to the bottom. So fishing, we're talking about a little bit today, where the fish are on some of the lakes right now, they're going deeper. They're in that cooler water. Hot water, hot part of the day, fish don't bite as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things that affects, again, other animals. Drought starts pushing animals out of the swamps. You see a lot of agricultural damage right now from deer because deer are looking for tender plants to eat. They're going to come out of those ag fields where your soybeans are, your cotton plants are coming up. A lot of farmers having problems right now with that because it's so dry, there's no other source of vegetation for them to eat.
So what do you do if you're a farmer?
So if you're a farmer, there are lots of options that are not always the happiest option. That we try to do depredation permits with a shoot to scare where they actually shoot, or they'll put gas cylinders out in the field that shoot, bang, they go bang, run deer off if that works. I saw one farmer this past week I know very well set up scarecrows every 200 yards down about a 3/4 mile long field.
Really?
Yeah.
Deer would be scared off by scarecrows?
Well, you know, they do work. Putting a shirt, old shirt on it, but this one they were using white trash bags on basically a tee, mm-hmm. tee put in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
White trash bag with a pie plate with a face on it. And then they had a string with a metal pan so that would flop in the wind.
Uh-huh.
And that movement would scare the deer. So the white bag flopping and the metal pan making noise, flopping against the wood, it works. So it does help. So in desperate times, call for desperate measures.
I was going to say the creativity of the farmer to come up with an idea like that.
Well, I was laughing because I found one that was knocked on the ground, took a picture of it, sent it to him. I said, man down. I told him we picked him up, gave him lots of water, put him back to work. He sent me back a message, said he's been working hard.
He's been working hard.
But when it gets dry, deer particularly will come out in fields a lot more, start looking for green vegetation because they're not seeing it. They're not having it in the swamps. So they come out of the woods a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like when it's dry, animals are looking for water when it starts getting dry. So that pushes them to move in different areas. Again, dry weather is good for turkeys,
mm-hmm.
good for nesting animals.
Mm-hmm.
Rain doesn't drown the chicks, that kind of thing. So dry weather can help birds to nest successfully. So hopefully our turkey nests are getting hatched off successfully. But we definitely need some rain. Got a little bit of rain in the house today. My wife was very excited for the garden, for the corn crop. So Rain is coming this week. Next couple of days, supposed to be rain every day, so we're looking forward to that.
All right,
let's talk fishing for a minute.
Let me give the number for anybody who wants to give you a call, have a question or comment for the captain. I know a lot of people do. 888 for the major. I keep demoting you. You haven't done anything to be demoted, have you?
No.
I keep accidentally. 888-898-2525 is the number. That's 888-898-2525 is the number. If you want to shoot us a question via email, it's at Hey Sports Talk at sportstalkradionetwork.com. No, it's not. Hang on a second. It's Hey Sports Talk at sportstalksc.com. That's it. Hey Sports Talk at sportstalksc.com. That's
now
how you can
reach
us. Okay, what you got, Cap?
It's a fishing report right now. Talk to First Sergeant Daniel Baker, good friend of mine over in the Edgefield McCormick area.
Mm-hmm.
Big fisherman, loves fishing. Fished, I think, today on Lake Murray at a Wounded Warrior event. He said football season's back in on Lake Murray. Remember, we talked about this last year. Football season means that the small 3 to 5 pound stripers are now, the bite's real strong. So the football size stripers are being caught on blueback herring in about 50 feet of water on humps, and the bite is early. He said by 9 o'clock, it's over. It's so hot, fish quit biting.
Mm-hmm.
So again, the weather, you know, weather forces these fish down. They get in the cooler water to 50 to 80 feet. But these football size 3 to 5 pound stripers are catching, they're catching those a lot right now, blueback herring. Remember on Lake Murray, the rule is first 5 fish and you're gone. So you catch 5 fish, you get off the lake. You can't, it's not catch and release. Whatever you catch, you got to keep first 5 and you got to get off the lake.
Okay.
5 per person. So Clark's Hill, fishing's wide open with mostly 1 to 3 pound hybrids. So a smaller fish being caught in about 30, caught on down rods with blueback herring again being the bait. The limit's 10 fish with no size limit, and that's on Clark's Hill, and that's hybrids, 1 to 3 pounds. Crappie still biting good, 30 feet of water on Clark's Hill on brush piles.
Mm-hmm.
Crappie fishing, typically Lake Murray's kind of slowed down now. Other lakes, crappie fishing slows down, but Clark's Hill doing pretty good right now with crappie. Lake Marion, anglers are reminded, if we're talking about stripers, that you can still catch stripers from now until June 15th. You can only keep 3. The new law came into effect last year, but they must be between 23 and 25 inches. Only one can be greater than 25. So that's the rule. 3 is, you know, only catch 3 on Lake Marion between 23 and 25. 1 may be greater than 26.
Mm-hmm.
Saltwater report. Talk down to First Sergeant Hugie McClellan down in McClellanville area, Lower Charleston. Gave me a good report. I've been hearing this up and down the coast from friends of mine that are fishing inshore. The flounder bite is strong, and it continues to pick up. So if you enjoy you know, running that flounder, you're fishing for flounder, go mm-hmm. to the coast. The flounder bite's very strong right now.
My brother, who is an outdoorsman, fisherman type, hunter.
Wow.
But not really a hunter, fisherman type, caught some flounder.
Really?
Out in, I guess he was in Merle's Inlet. I don't know if he went out in the ocean or not, but he's,
begs the question, what happened to you?
I got the looks.
Okay. Of course. Of course.
Should've and the brains. I got should've. The looks and the brains. You can't have everything.
So you can't have looks and brains and fish.
That's right.
Okay.
Something's got to give. But anyway, no,
I thought I was an example of that.
He told me the other day. He said, yeah, I caught some flounder.
Hey.
Out there fishing.
And I love to eat flounder. Nothing better
too.
Than flounder.
Me too.
A little butter. Little.
Now, I can cook the flounder. You know, you brought your stuff in one night and you cooked the gator. I can cook the flounder.
Bake it in the oven?
Deep fry it.
Deep fry it.
Oh,
okay, well.
Is there any other way?
Yes. You bake that, grill it. It's good stuff. Baked. Oh, yeah. Lemon. Good stuff.
By the way, I think it's raining.
It is raining. I hear it.
I hear it pouring.
Thank the Lord it's raining.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, flounder bite strong. Black drum has been really strong on the coast this year. Been surprisingly up a little bit on cut shrimp
mm-hmm.
or live shrimp either way. Spot tail bite remains strong as well. Heard good reports on popping corks. That's another design. You know, folks like to use popping corks. Basically, the cork has kind of got a little lead on a string, and it's got a little bead, so when you pull it, it pops. It makes a popping sound.
Okay.
And that floats the bait, either your shrimp or your little mullet menace, in the water at a certain depth. When you pop that cork, it makes a noise, kind of a cracking sound,
mm-hmm.
and that excites the fish.
Gets their attention.
That gets their attention, exactly. Mm-hmm. That works. Usually that's what people fish for speckled trout with, but that is working on speckled trout, red drum, and even flounder.
Mm-hmm.
Heard some good reports down in Beaufort County this past weekend on that.
Mm-hmm.
Offshore, the dolphin run is dying down.
Okay.
This time of year, usually over April, May is when it's up. So the dolphin run is dying down.
Okay. Before you get to alligators.
Go ahead.
Hit the phones here. We have a caller for you. Mark in Columbia, welcome in to SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of DNR.
So, how you doing, gentlemen?
Hey.
Okay. Real quick question. I was just curious. Is that Clark's Hill Lake the same thing as Strom Thurmond Lake? It was my understanding that Strom Thurmond side, on South Carolina side, it's called Strom Thurmond. And on Georgia side, it's called Clark's Hill. Is that correct?
So it's Clark's Hill on the South Carolina side as well. The lake, you know, used to be Strom Thurmond, but it's known as Clark's Hill now everywhere on both sides, just Georgia side.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why'd they eliminate Strom Thurmond?
I'm sorry, what now?
Why'd they eliminate Strom Thurmond?
Why'd they eliminate the name from Strom Thurmond?
You know, I don't know the history of that. I can find out. We'll get back to you on that. But I don't know the history of why they changed it from Strom Thurmond Lake.
I always thought I loved going down to Hickory Knob, and I always thought that was so strange that it definitely said Strom Thurmond Lake, and then I said, and then we went over to the Georgia side, and it said Clark's Hill Lake, and I said, wait a minute, this is the same lake.
The same lake, and people still call it by both names. Today, I think people have shifted more toward Clark's Hill because that's the name that is most commonly associated with it. But some good fishing I have learned in the last 2 years, really good fishing on that lake. Good
but people
hybrid,
in
good
Georgia have always called it Clark's Hill.
That's what he said.
I was just curious about that. I'm sorry. I just was curious.
Yeah. No.
All right, thank you.
No problem.
Yeah, thank you for your phone call. Good stuff. Appreciate that. If you have another question or comment for the major, 888-898-2525 is the number. Alligators?
Alligators, just to keep you excited, keep it on your side so you kind of are excited about where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
Alligator, remember the public draw hunt for alligators is open through June 15th to put in for the lottery. The lottery is open through June 15th. $10 non-refundable application only online. So go online to the DNR website, put in for that lottery draw to be entered into the public alligator hunt. This year's season begins at 12 noon on September 14th and will run until 12 p.m. noon on October 12th. But again, the deadline to apply, June 15th, and you can only apply online.
Okay, very good. Let's get to our boating update as we head towards a weekend in June when you know folks are going to be in those boats.
When it's hot, everybody wants to go to the water. So do I.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy it. The family loves it. Let's talk about Memorial Day weekend real quick. A little recap. We all made it through Memorial Day weekend. Fortunately, that I know of, no boating fatalities to report. That makes it a good weekend.
Good.
To date, we've had 6 boating fatalities this year. Of course, again, as I always say, one's too many. But again, remember, just to remind folks, remember the boating basics when you're on the water. Last segment, we talked about boating basics a little bit. We talked about life jackets. I always like to cover life jackets. I don't care if we talk about life jackets every time.
Mm-hmm.
We want to talk about reminding folks about that. Make sure you got enough life jackets on board. Make sure they fit the intended user on your boat, every user, including children. Make sure that they're in serviceable condition, don't have rips or tears, so they'll work if you need them, and make sure they are where you can get to them if you need them. Remember, any child under the age of 12 on a boat less than 16 feet in length is required to have that life jacket on at all times.
Quickly, let's go to Wes in Florence before we hit the next break here on SC Wild on Sports Talk. Wes, welcome in. How are you?
Hey, pretty good. I have a random weird question. All around Florence, we have like small bridges. I see a lot of people fishing off the sides of the bridge, which you're really not supposed to do. Two things. One, do you have to have a fishing license to do that? And two, what do you catch out of the little swamps and streams that they're actually fishing in? I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you.
That's a great question. Thanks for the question, Wes. Thanks for calling in. So, yes, along roads all across this state, we've got black water bridges. We call it black water because that's the black swamps.
Mm-hmm.
So those bridges are open to fishing. A lot of bridges depends on if the sign says no fishing from the bridge or not. If there's no sign, they can stand on the bridge, even though it's not safe. But a lot of folks will park and walk down the edge of the bridge to fish black water. They're fishing for flatfish, bream, flyers is the popular choice there. Some of the little bullhead catfish in the swamps, they'll catch those. But really, they're fishing for bream.
Are those good fish to eat?
Sure they are.
Yeah.
Bluegill, they'll catch red, they'll catch a bunch of varieties of, like I said, bream, but the flyers are most popular in these black water areas, as well as your red breasts.
Take us to the break.
There's your report.
Take us to the break, Captain.
Well, we'll take it to the break.
Major.
We'll be back after a short break.
As soon as I get your title right.
Now on Sports Talk, it's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
And we're back.
Oh!
On Sports Talk.
Well, let me just go ahead and go home.
Phil's over there choking.
I'm going to go ahead and go home.
Go ahead and bring us back from the break.
That was very good. You did a good job.
I thought so.
You know, there may come a time.
That I take over?
You just do it by yourself.
I will. You know. That wouldn't be near as fun.
No, it wouldn't.
The banter back and forth.
But, I mean, let's face it. The star of the show is you.
And I'm just here
I'm just here to drive the
lack of knowledge.
You know what you are? You're the skier in the bikini.
Oh, boy.
And I'm... I'm driving the boat.
That's
okay. So what are people looking at? They're looking at the skier in the bikini. They're not looking at the dude driving the boat.
No,
right?
They're enjoying the whole show. It's a whole package. Whole package.
All right, let's get to drinking and boating.
Well, before we do that, let me back up.
Let's
talk about
that.
Fishing on black water.
Oh, yeah.
And I wanted to Wes asked a great question. So you can fish on black water off of bridges where there's no signage that says no fishing from bridge. Mm. That doesn't mean some people do that. And we actually write tickets for that. People are fishing on a bridge where it says no fishing from bridge. Generally, that's bridges that are narrow to keep them from being in traffic. But again, they're fishing for flyers, some small catfish, red breast, brim, things like that. But again, you do have to have a fishing license to fish off a bridge.
Now, when I was a kid in Dillon County, outside of Atlanta, there's a place called Buck Swamp.
Right.
You ever heard of it?
Yep.
We'd go to the railroad trestle and go fishing off of that.
Right.
And catch what we called shiners. Little skinny, silver-looking fish.
Yep.
Really bony, I think.
Yep.
You ever heard of them?
Mm-hmm.
Shiners?
You're talking about a redfin shiner.
Could have been.
The redfins?
Could have been. I just remember shiners.
Yep.
Ugly fish.
Yep. But.
Typical for Buck Swamp.
Yes. But we were talking about a rule on drinking and boating for a minute. We talked about boating last show. Didn't really get into this, but this is a question that comes up a lot from the public. They want to know about drinking and boating. What are the rules about boating? Can I have alcohol on the boat? So here's the basics of it for a minute. So first of all, boating on the lake, as far as having an open beer, there's no such thing as an open container in a vessel. No such rule. It's not like a car. There's no open container. Now, of course, you've got to be of age. A minor in possession does become a factor if you have people in the boat under age 21 and there's beer with them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if there's somebody on the boat that's 21, that's claiming that beverage, that's fine, but don't be contributing to a minor at all. Don't have minors in the boat drinking. That's going to be a problem there. But again, so you can't have an open container in a boat. What we're concerned about most of all is that folks don't drink and drive. You see that thing? Everybody knows that thing while driving a car. Don't drink and drive. Have a designated driver. But when it comes to boats, a lot of times, we go out there in the sun. We're out there all day. We're not thinking by a designated driver, we're just having a good time. People enjoy a beverage or two, and then it becomes three, four, five, six. And they don't think about the sun. We talk about the sun and the effect of the sun on your body. It makes alcohol with the water, with the boat action on the water, the engine noise, the sun, that stress effect on your body makes alcohol affect you three times as much. So two beers on the water is like drinking six pack on the land.
Wow.
So, that every person is different. So everybody wants to know, what is it for me to be drunk? We're worried about you being impaired on the water. Don't drive impaired. Have a designated driver. Everybody concerned about 0.08, but 0.08 is your blood alcohol content. The main thing, the law says you cannot drive impaired. So you want to have all your faculties when you're driving a boat because you don't have brakes. And there's so many things we talk about when you're skiing. People pop up, people fall down. Nobody wants to be pulling their kids on a tube and fall off and a drunk boater be near them.
Yeah.
Because that's a recipe for disaster. So, again, don't drink in boat. If you're going to drink, make sure you got a designated driver. Again, that's the main rule. Closing thought for today, because I know we're getting close to the end here.
Yes, seconds.
So, take a boat education course. We encourage everybody to take a boat education course, not only young people, but adults as well. People think, well, I'm not 60. I'm over 16 years old. I don't have to have boat education. That's okay. Take a course. You'll learn something. Take it with your family. Our courses are free in the classroom.
Thank you, Major. See you in a couple weeks. Good night. Invention.